So again, we often don't understand what we mean by the laws of nature. Indeed, Lewis says, and this is a great Lewis moment, not only do miracles not violate the laws of nature, it is only the believer in miracles who really sees nature at all. Only the supernaturalist can get the proper perspective, can appreciate nature for the created thing she is. The only way we can see nature is if we can step outside of her and look at her. I hope many of you know that the only way you can truly understand yourself is to step outside of yourself and look at yourself. That's what a psychotherapist will sometimes help you do, to step outside and get an outside perspective. So in a weird way, Lewis claims only the supernaturalist really knows, nature. Let us come back to pain now, because Lewis does not stop here. Lewis argues that both pain and miracles have a greater purpose. Indeed, pain and miracles are the very theme, the stuff of what God is doing in our lives and our world. Let me again begin with pain. Lewis says that far from revealing an uncaring or contemptuous God, human pain reveals an involved God who pays us the intolerable compliment of loving us. Most of you listening perhaps have children. I would hope that those of you that are fathers or mothers would prefer that your son was virtuous but unhappy rather than happy and evil. I would hope, maybe some parents are, but I've got a child and I would like him to be successful, but I would rather he be unsuccessful and a good human being than successful but evil, greedy, and unrighteous. Well, God is just like that. You see, God does not want us to have a good time. What God wants from us is to grow into the people he created us to be. But you know what the problem is? Because of our disobedience, our pride, our sin, because we have of our own free will chosen ourselves and our will over that of God, we have fallen. We've fallen away from what God wanted us to be. Now, as we said in an earlier lecture, the only way back is through self-surrender to God. But what's the problem? The problem is our rebellious will makes us deaf to God's call. So what is pain? Pain, says Lewis in a famous phrase, is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. We're so self-sufficient, we're so self-satisfied, we don't hear. God has to give us pain to shock us out of our complacency. Again, pain demolishes our self-sufficiency, our illusions of earthly security. What does pain do? Pain makes us drop what we are holding so that we might embrace the love of God. It's not until we let go that we can let God, to quote a famous phrase from a few years ago. All right, let's move on and end now with miracles. Miracles are also part of the greater weave of what God is doing. But, Lewis says, only those who have eyes to see will grasp their centrality. Let me give you an example that Lewis himself uses. Many of you may not know this, but before Coleridge, the older criticism of Shakespeare did not look on Shakespeare the way we do. They saw Shakespeare as a sort of erratic genius. In other words, they believed that Shakespeare was great in certain moments, in certain speeches or soliloquies, but they believed that on the whole, Shakespeare was not in control of his plays. In other words, if you read Shakespeare's plays, they break decorum left and right. The certain rules of the way plays and tragedies are supposed to work, Shakespeare breaks them all the time. So they believed he was sort of a nature boy, if you will. He was great in parts, but he was not a good systematic playwright, if you will. Well, along came Coleridge in the 19th century and said, no, you're not reading it right. What you think is a break in decorum is actually part of a greater organic unity. Shakespeare is doing something greater. He's not going to follow the old creaky laws of decorum. He's not going to write a sort of pulp fiction. He's writing something on a grander scale. But most of us that don't have eyes to see don't notice that. We have to understand the greater weave to figure out how it works. Now, just so, while the naturalist sees in miracles a break in that artificial decorum that he has imposed on the universe, the naturalist wants the universe to be a clockwork universe, like some play that follows a formula.